of Metzia Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. Humanism versus ritual. Zakein ve'einai lefi chvado. Bureaucracies can be very undermining for human dignity because once a rule is set in place, it doesn't matter what the dignity issue is. You could, the Kohen Godel could come to a TSA security check at an American airport and he'd have to take his shoes off and his belt off and his hat off and no matter how undignified it is, that's the rule. That's what you have to do. What about religious ritual or in our case, Shmirat Mitzvot? Is religious ritual and Shmirat Mitzvot a bureaucratic system that has to be followed to the letter of the law, irrespective of whether it undermines human dignity or not? Or is there allowance for human dignity? So in a very fundamentalist religion, you would argue that it has to be no space for human dignity, possibly even no space for human life. What the religion requires, that's what has to be practiced. There's a rigidity. There isn't the ability to be flexible and agile in any way at all. In a humanistic faith or religion, there's no real space for God. If human dignity is at risk, then human dignity will always come first. So God will always take second place to human dignity. That's what humanitarianism is. It puts the human being at the center of everything. Whereas in faith, in religion, and certainly in the Torah, Hashem is at the center of everything. And in a liberal, progressive society, even if the dignity of a dog is at stake, God will take second place or a backseat. Because an animal, the dignity of an animal comes first. Where do you draw those lines? And how does the Torah view a situation where there is a clash between human dignity and a mitzvah? And the classical case of it is in Brochas Daf Yud Tes, where Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Hamotzi Kilayim Bevigdo Poshtan Afilu Beshuk. Person is walking down the street in the middle of Tel Aviv or Times Square in New York, or a busy street in London or Paris, and he discovers that what he's wearing is shatnez. It's linen and wool mixed together. You're not allowed to wear them. He's not allowed to wear it for another minute. What do you do? You're in the middle of the street. What do you do? Says Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, you take your clothes off. What can you do? Here's a case of human dignity clashing with a mitzvah. And you've got to, the mitzvah comes first. We'll discuss in a moment why. Why? Because of the pasuk in Mishle, Ein chochma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etza leneged Hashem. When you're standing in the face of Hashem, you don't rationalize. And nothing is more important. And nobody's dignity is more important. If you feel yourself physically in God's presence, and that's what's important about Torah and Mitzvot. We discussed yesterday how a Jew sees spiritual forces as physically, as realistically, as physical forces. You can damage my fountain pen not only by using it incorrectly or by dropping it on the nib onto the floor. You can damage my fountain pen by using it for something coarse, by using it for something that isn't allowed, by using it for something ugly. That can actually damage it, we understand. Certainly, human beings can be damaged by ugliness. To understand and to appreciate that even an object can be damaged by a negative spiritual force, such as ugliness, or certainly tumah. And for a Jew, this is real. This is not just a vague concept. A Jew feels it. He senses it. It's real for him. And so a Jew is always standing in the presence of Hashem. So if I'm standing in the presence of Hashem and Hashem is saying, get those clothes off, we would do it if the clothes were contaminated with radiation. If we were standing in the middle of the street and somebody came and told us, your clothes are radiated, you're going to get terribly ill or maybe even die, take them off, get rid of them immediately. We would strip them off in public because that's real. Well, shatnez is also real. Shatnez is radiation. Shatnez is you're wearing clothes that are radiated. So you take them off immediately. There's no messing around with Hashem. Hashem wouldn't ask you to do that if it wasn't terribly urgent. Now, we're not sensitive to that in our modern world. We don't feel that. So we're just believing the Torah says. So we do, and it's not an easy thing to do. But if we really see it, if it's really physical, and that's when you meet great people in Torah, it's one of the most amazing experiences. That's what you feel. That the world they're looking at is a different world from the world you're looking at. They're seeing things that you don't see. They're feeling things that you don't feel. Because that's what it is to get to that kind of level. And in that situation, Ein chokhma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etza, there's no wisdom, thinking, rationalizing leneged Hashem. When you're standing in Hashem's presence, you do what Hashem wants you to do, and that's the end of it. That's all very fine, except we have a Gemara on our daf in Bava Metzia that seems to say the opposite. So let's have a look. When we see two Gemaras that are opposite, as we had yesterday, that's an opportunity to mine, to understand, to see nuances. Our Gemara is based on our mitzvah of matzah, sako, kupa, v'chol davar she'en derkei litol. What happens if you find in the street, you're a Rosh Yeshiva, you're an Adam Gadol, or you're the Prime Minister, or you're the King, or a Prince, and you're walking down the street and there's a big box that's an Aveda, it's lost, a big IKEA box. Are you going to start schlepping? Are you going to start dragging the box in front of everybody to take it home, find the owner, return it to the owner? You're going to walk through the streets dragging this box? It's not right. How is it loyal? No, you don't have to do that. Yes, there's a mitzvah to return lost property, but there's also the requirement of your dignity. In the case of a Talmid Chacham, he is a responsibility to the people, not only to himself. He's a responsibility to the people and to the Torah to maintain his dignity. And it's not dignified to be schlepping big boxes around the street, so he doesn't do it. Where do we get it from? The Tanu Rabbanan. We learn this from the posuk above here. Lo tireh, the posuk we've been busy with all the time. Lo tireh et shor achicha et seyoni dachim. You shouldn't see your brother's ox or lamb wandering around lost. Vehit alamta mehem, and you should not ignore them. Hashev teshivem lachicha, you must get involved and engage and get it back to your brother. The wording of that pasuk is strange. It doesn't say thou shalt not be mit alem, thou shalt not ignore the lost property of your brother. It says you shall not see the property of your brother and ignore it. Says the Gemara, Pamim Shata Mitalem, it's written in such a way of Vehitalamta Mehem, and you shall ignore it, because there are times when you have to ignore it. And these are times, the Gemara goes on, gives three different examples of where you have to ignore it. One of them is a person is a Kohen and the lost property is in a cemetery. The other situation is the amount of time it would take him to take care of the lost property, for which he's allowed to bill the owner of the lost property. He's a wealthy person. Every minute, every hour he takes off work costs a lot of money. He would bill the person with that money. And the bill would be bigger than the property he saved. That would be a foolish thing then to go and spend thousands of dollars to save something that's worth $100. You wouldn't do that. And the other one is Osha Ya Zaken Ve'inu Lufi Chvodo. Person is a Zaken. The person is either an older person with dignity or a Zaken, a Talmid Chacham. So that it's not his, according to his dignity, to go dragging these boxes around. Gemara goes through and says, the other cases we can work out ourselves, that you can't go into the cemetery to save the lost property if you're a Kohen. That we know, because an Aseh can't be Doche, an Aseh and a Lot Aseh. There's a positive mitzvah to return the lost property, but going into the cemetery is both a positive and a negative mitzvah for a Kohen. So a positive mitzvah doesn't cancel out a positive plus a negative mitzvah. So I know that you don't do it. The Kohen would not go into the cemetery to save the lost property of his friend. The second case of doing something which is going to cost the person more than, or cost yourself more than the value of the property you're saving, we know that from the pasuk of Efes Kiloyev Chayevion. So this verse of Vehit Alamta, the Torah writing this Vehit Alamta in a positive way, as if to say, Vehit Alamta, yes, there are times where you must ignore the lost property of your friend, must specifically be speaking about a zaken, Ve'no Lefi Chvodo. So if we're so concerned with the dignity of the Zaken, that he doesn't have to fulfill the mitzvah of returning lost property because of his dignity, why would that same Zaken, that same great person who's standing in Times Square, have to take his clothes off if he discovers their shatness? Why aren't we worried about his dignity? Fortunately, I didn't have to sit and break my head to try and resolve these two different Gemaras, because the Gemara itself asks that question in Brachot, where the Gemara says, Tashma, v'hitalamta mehem. The Gemara in Brochus, the continuation of the Gemara that I bring at the top of the source read, the Gemara continues and says, okay, so you've got to take your clothes off if you're in a public place and you discover that they're shatnez. But what about this Gemara we've just had in Bava Metzia? Amai, lema in chokma ve'in tvua ve'in etzel neged Hashem. Why don't we say to this great Rosh Yeshiva who's standing in a busy road in Tel Aviv, and there's lost property, now he's going to decide, do I schlep this IKEA box down Dizengoff Street? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Why didn't we? So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to do that. Let somebody else do that. Says the Gemara, why not? At the end of the day, there's a mitzvah. Why didn't you have to do the mitzvah? It's another case of the ritual, of the mitzvah, conflicting with human dignity. But we've just learned that in this situation, the mitzvah trumps. You've got to go with the mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hatam, Dichtivi Italamta Mehem. You're right. Really, he should have to do it because the mitzvah does trump human dignity. But here we have a posuk. The Torah specifically says, Vehitalamta, in the case of lost property, you don't have to, you've got to protect your dignity, you don't have to return it. If there weren't a posuk, if there weren't a verse in the posuk in Kitetze, we would say you've got to return the lost property. Even if it means that a very dignified man has to schlep the property, the box in the street, you would have to do that. But because of the verse of Italamta, you don't. So the Gemara says, well, let's apply that everywhere. Then you shouldn't have to take your clothes off in the Times Square either if you discover that they've got shatnez. Why don't we say the same thing? Answers the Gemara, Isura mi mamona lo yalfinan. Now the Gemara starts introducing nuances in different forms of ritual, in different Shmirat mitzvot. If it's a mandatory thing, then dignity comes first. If it's a matter of isur, of prohibition of the Torah, then the mitzvah comes first, not the dignity. Now, in our secular lives, we think the opposite way. If money is concerned, who cares about dignity? Just get the money. If it's a mitzvah, what about human dignity? But here we see how the Torah, what the Torah mind is and the Torah personality is. No, if it's money, you don't have to put dignity aside. Dignity comes first. But if it's a mitzvah, then the mitzvah comes first. So the Gemara goes on to say, but we've got another case where we learn from the word of Achoto and the Torah. If a man is walking along the street and he sees a meit mitzvah, he sees a dead body that's got nobody taking care of it. There's a mitzvah to bury the dead body. And he's a kohen. What the din is, the kohen must go and stop what he's doing, even if he's on the way to do a bris milah for his son. Even if he's doing some amazing things, or he's got to be mitzvah, you do it. You go and you do it. Why? Says the Gemara, Sheval Tase Shani. There's a difference of Sheval Tase and Kumvase, meaning if you have to get up and actually break the Torah, do something wrong, that you're not allowed to do for human dignity. But if it's just about standing back and not doing, just not getting involved with a lost property, that you're allowed to stand back and not do. But but when there's a mitzvah to do, like to bury the dead body, then that comes first. And there's a beautiful Rashi there in Brochus where Rashi explains this whole idea in a lot of detail. So Tosfos now asks an important question, and then we'll summarize. What we see at the moment is that the default is mitzvah comes first. You're standing in front of God, nothing else is important. The value system is such, I'm in the presence of Hashem, the mitzvot of Hashem come first no matter human dignity. There are some exceptions to that which the Torah teaches us. And well, an example, firstly, of doing that is you discover that there's shatnez in your clothes, you take your clothes off. That's the prime example. However, there are some exceptions. For example, in the case of lost property. In the case of lost property, a person who's very dignified doesn't have to get engaged with catching a chicken and taking it back to the owner of the chicken. It's not lefi chavoda. Why is that? Because vihitalamta, the Torah specifically says, in monetary matters, if there's a monetary mitzvah, you don't have to fulfill that mitzvah at the expense of human dignity. That you don't have to do. So why don't we apply it to other cases? Because that's monetary. You can't learn Isur from money. Isur is more serious than money. And therefore, although you can put dignity first when it comes to money, you can't put dignity first when it comes to Isur, to a prohibition of the Torah. In that case, when it's a meit mitzvah, if there's a situation where you've got to bury a dead body, there it's a case of Isur. So why are you allowed to stop? Why do you have to stop and bury the dead body? And what is the requirement there? So we learn that from Achoto. So now Tosfos asks the following question. Let's learn from Avedah. What is the case of Avedah? Avedah is just mamon. It's just a monetary thing. We know that when it comes to meit mitzvah, to burying a dead body that has nobody else to bury it, that dignity, the dignity of the dead body, comes before other isurim. So you won't manage to give your son a bris on time, or you're a kohen and you're going to become tameh. Burying the dead person comes first because dignity comes first. So we see in the case of isur, dignity comes first. How much more so in the case of money? Why do I need the pasuk of Vehit Alamta? That's Tosfos' question. You're going to do your son's bris milah. You're going to bring a korban pesach. On the way, you find a dead body that needs to be buried. You stop what you're doing and you bury the dead body. So you're not going to be doing the mitzvah because of the dignity of the dead body. Why don't we learn from there? How much more so for money? So certainly, if that's the case with Isser, certainly it's the case with money. Says Tosfos, no, that's a specific Isser. We're getting even more nuanced. That's a dead body. Kovod habriyot demet mitzvah chamir tvei. That dignity is the most serious dignity of all, or indignity. We always worry about our own dignity. I've been insulted. I feel offended. How many times nowadays do you hear the word, I'm offended? The biggest offense is for a dead body not to be buried. Shemutal bevizayon, it's lying there in disgrace. Pen yasriach or yochleu kelavim, it can go off. It can start decaying and dogs can come and eat it. Terrible things. You stop everything. If a dead body, there's nobody taking care of a dead body, you stop whatever you're doing, no matter what mitzvah you're doing, and you bury the dead body because that dignity is serious. Asks Tosfos them and says, so why is kilayim so? In other words, Tosfos works out very beautifully that if kilayim was not a kumva aseh, if kilayim was a sheval taseh, if kilayim were a passive mitzvah, then you wouldn't need a posuk. The only reason the Gemara learns that you need a posuk for the case of wearing shatnez, of wool and linen in a garment and you're in Times Square, that's because it's a kumva aseh. Otherwise, it seems We shouldn't need a posuk, or we wouldn't need a posuk. Why not? Why would we say the dignity comes first? Says Tosfos, Mishum da'arum havi genut uvizayon gadol. This is a terribly important phrase for our society. Because nakedness, nudity, is a terrible disgrace of human dignity. That's what it is. And that's what our Tosfos says here in Bava Metzia. The Tosfos in Shavuos, Dav Lamed, I bring in brackets here, that is as undignified as a dead body lying unburied. Now, you know, nowadays you've got to put, if you're showing a clip on social media or in public that could be offensive to people, you have to put what's called a trigger warning. You've got to say to people, you may be triggered by this. You may find it offensive. It's interesting, nudity, that doesn't happen very often. You see nudity all over the place in certain parts of the world and in certain situations. A Torah soul finds nudity as undignified as a dead body lying unburied. And just if you were showing a picture of a whole lot of dead bodies unburied, decaying, you would have to put a trigger warning. So for nudity. And nudity doesn't mean total nudity necessarily. Nudity means any part of the body which should be covered and isn't covered. A sensitive person, a Ben Torah, finds that as insensitive, as offensive, as a dead body lying there. That's why for those two situations, Kovod Habriyos comes first. If it weren't for the fact that in the case of Kilayim, in the case of the woolen linen garment, if it weren't that it was a kumva aseh, if it was just a sheva v'al taseh, a passive mitzvah, without a question, you wouldn't have to take your clothes off in public because human dignity is so important when it comes to nudity. Human dignity is so important when it comes to burial. Those are the two situations that we see in Tosfos where it's that important. So if we sum up, then the default is the mitzvah is more important than dignity. You don't put a human being before our relationship to God. Now, there are cases, the Torah has cases where you do. For example, you're allowed to break the Shabbos to save a life. But what's the reason for that? It's not because life is more important than Shabbos. No, Shabbos is more important than life. The reason you can break Shabbos to save a life is because by breaking Shabbos to save the life, there'll be many more Shabbosim that can be kept by this person you're saving. So it's part of this honoring of Shabbat for which you break the Shabbat to save the life. Human life is not the highest value in the Torah. The highest value is the centricity of God in our lives. That's the highest value. Now, there are times when there's a conflict between the centricity of God and human dignity. There are situations where, in most situations, the Torah specifically tells us the default is God comes first. I, God, am telling you, put human dignity first in these places, specifically when it comes to matters of money. And when it comes to matters of severe indignity, such as nudity or burial of a dead body, there you've got to put human dignity before. And in that situation, that's how we resolve it. So it's not a black and white answer. Human dignity always comes first. Or ritual always comes first. It depends. One has to understand the nature of the ritual, the nature of the mitzvah, the situation of the human dignity, and then the halakha provides us a framework within which to make these decisions as to how to trade off these two very important values.